follow as we read. The Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth. That's a good start if you're going to preach a sermon, isn't it?
Amen.
Opened his mouth. I mean, he's not afraid. He's not afraid. He shouldn't be afraid. Can't be afraid. Our job's to preach. He said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that he that feareth him and worketh righteousness accepted of him, accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say now, ye know, that was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. And what Peter's doing here is he's just simply preaching the gospel.
Yes.
Amen. Verse 41, it says, not to all the people, but he showed himself openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What a message. Verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Father, we need you tonight. I pray your grace. Bless as we, Lord, declare your word. I pray you'd work in our hearts. We need to hear from you. So guide us in your path, please. Speak to us, convict us, correct us, Lord, encourage us. And we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. When I was in high school, I doubted my salvation. I had gotten saved when I was 13 years old, and no preacher was there to tell me what had just happened as I had received Christ. I knew I was convicted. I remember the day I knew that I was lost and I wanted to be saved, and I actually prayed a prayer, but in my heart I knew when I had prayed those words that God wasn't transforming my heart, because I was just repeating or reciting words. And so I went home even as a 13-year-old knowing that I was still lost. I was still under deep conviction, even though the soul winner had told me that I had gotten saved. I knew that I wasn't. So it was a couple of nights of sleeplessness that God began to stir my heart as a 13-year-old laying in my bed, looking up at the ceiling, finally just calling out to Christ and asking him to save me and turning my heart to him. And he transformed my life. He changed me from the inside out. My life literally changed. I stopped doing some of the things that I was doing. And it wasn't like I had some preacher there telling me, hey, you need to stop cursing and you need to stop stealing and you need to stop listening to that kind of music. God just was transforming me. It was a pretty miraculous thing as I look back when he was doing that. But at the same time, I didn't have a preacher there at my bedside when I called out to Christ to tell me that is salvation. So I doubted. Along the way, we fail and we go away from God and we're not where he wants us to be. And I started to doubt whether I had salvation. I remember being in high school in a Christian school and sitting in chapel, and the preacher was a guest preacher. He was an evangelist, and he was a very passionate evangelistic kind of preacher. And he's preaching about people who doubt their salvation and said, when we get saved, he's speaking this, I don't remember exactly what he's saying, but he's talking about security and salvation, that when God comes into your heart, he seals you, he makes you saved, and he gives you everlasting life. And so when there's everlasting life, and he explained the, you know, what brings everlasting life, and that you have everlasting life and you can't lose everlasting life. It was a moment in my life when I remember thinking that was what I needed in that moment. Wow, I needed that, because it was church service after church service. I was sitting in the row and God was, you know, I was doubting my salvation and I was praying prayers like this: God, if I'm lost, save me. It was like every church service I was praying, God, if I'm lost, save me. And those aren't prayers of salvation. And so when God spoke to me and affirmed my salvation, it just was a freeing time in my life. We need preachers who will declare the message of God, who will say it without apology, will say the truth and tell us what we need to hear, because God uses the messages not just to convict us, but to affirm us, to guide us in His path, to tell us you are on the right path, or if you're on the wrong path, this is how you get on the right path. We need men. We need men of God who will stand up and preach messages that we need to hear so God will guide us in His path. That's what Peter did. Peter was like Jeremiah. When God said to Jeremiah, I want you to go to a people, and I'm calling you to preach to a people, they're not going to want to hear your message. But don't be afraid of their faces. You say my word, I'll take care of the rest. Wow. What a great privilege, but what a great responsibility. And what a great challenge can be related to delivering a message to a people who might not like hearing it. But that's our job. We preach the word, and we're not afraid to say what God said. That was Peter. Peter's preaching a message to a host of people who are there ready to be a receptive of that message. But he's going to preach the gospel without apology. And as he goes through it, I want you to follow this. I'm not going to go through the whole passage again, but look at verse 36. Well, first of all, we already pointed out Peter opened his mouth. That's a good start. But look what it says in verse 36 at the end. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of all doesn't mean everybody's saved. Now get this. He is Lord of all doesn't mean if you are here this morning, well, don't worry, you're going to go to heaven when you die. It doesn't mean that. It means God died for all of mankind and anybody can be saved. And so if you're here tonight and God's speaking to you, he's convicting you and you know you need to be saved, you fit into the context of the all. He came to save you. He came to save all of mankind. And that's what the message of peace is. Peter says, I have a message. It's a message of peace. It's peace that God can give. The war, by the way, the opposite of peace is war. And that means that through Christ, the war between you and God can be over. He can make peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's the sermon. And so he delivers the message. And the reason why he's able to deliver this is because Jesus came to this earth, verse 38, it says in the middle, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So Jesus is going about, he's doing good, he's preaching messages. By the way, the Sermon on the Mount all by itself was sermons. It was truths that no one had ever heard before. Not just that it's wrong to kill, but it's wrong to hate your brother. I mean, listen, we knew it was wrong to kill, thou shalt not kill. But we had never heard anybody say that it's wrong to just be angry in your soul. Jesus said, no, this is a heart problem. This is a condition that strikes to the heart. And so he was declaring messages no one had ever heard. He's doing miracles and really bringing confirmation to the message. So people would say this. They would say, I'd never heard anything like this. I'd never heard any message like this. This is amazing. Is this true? Is this real? Can I believe this? Can I put my faith in this? And so Jesus would take a layman who'd never walked and he would make him walk. He'd take a blind man who'd never seen and he would make him see. And the miraculous works of Jesus pointed to the reality or the truthfulness of his message. So here's what Peter's saying. I was there to see all of it. I heard the message. I saw the miracles. This man is of God. You can believe him. Woo! He's excited. I feel excited. So he goes on, verse number 39 at the end, that says they slew and they hanged on a tree. But God raised him, verse 40, on the third day. So he speaks of Jesus doing the miraculous works and the wonders and the affirmation of the message through those works and miracles. And then he was rejected. He was despised. He was crucified. He was hanged on a tree. He was buried. But 3 days later, he raised from the dead. The reason? Is to offer salvation for all of mankind. But there's one thing that has to be done before salvation can be understood. Listen to me now. There's one thing that has to be declared. There's one thing that has to be understood beyond just declaring that Jesus went to the cross to die and Jesus raised from the dead. And what is it? What is it, Peter? What is it, the one more thing that somebody has to hear? Somebody needs to hear it before they'll be convicted. Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 42. And he commanded thus us, speaking of the apostles, to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be, say those next two words, the judge. Are you following? That's the message. That is the responsibility of the preacher, to declare the gospel. That Jesus came to this earth, he lived a perfect life, and he died, and he raised again the third day. But listen, he's the judge. Jesus is the judge. And so mankind who rejects the gospel, mankind who rejects Christ, a relationship through conviction in Christ, through conviction of our sins and the message of Christ as he speaks to our hearts, will be condemned. As a matter of fact, we're already condemned, and we will be condemned because Christ isn't just love. He is love, but he's the judge. That's the message people need to hear. That's the job of the man of God and the followers of God who stand for God.
Right.
Do you know what the point is? If you're going to be used of God tonight, you can't be afraid to see a little bit of blood.
That's right. That's
did you hear me?
Yep.
If you're going to be a nurse, you can't be afraid to see blood.
Right.
My wife's in the nursery. It's probably good for her because even just talking about blood, she starts getting lightheaded. She can handle it. Cut her finger one time. And I was teasing her. I said, you can see the bone. I was teasing her. Passed out right there in the kitchen. Like, mercy. You could not see the bone, okay? But I realized I shouldn't have said that. She's probably not built to be a nurse. Because you got to be able to, you know, handle the blood. Did you know if you're going to be a disciple maker, you got to be able to confront people? You got to be able to tell people that they're in sins and the judge is hovering over them, that there's consequences of sins, that you got to stand against sin. If you're going to be the kind of Christian that God wants you to be, you got to stand with conviction, which means you have to be one who stands for God and for truth. Which means there's opposition that you're going to see in life. I mean, you're going to have to oppose things. You're going to have to stand against things. You're going to have to stand alone at times. Because that's what Christians do.
Right.
I remember in the same chapel, not the same service, but in the same chapel setting when I was in high school. And I had a girlfriend. I was a senior in high school. I'd already surrendered to be a pastor. I had a girlfriend. She went to the same school. And, you know, I was all excited about that. I knew it wasn't the one God wanted me to have, but, you know, I was excited about that little relationship. And I was also, because it's a small Christian school, I was involved with the yearbook. And I had a chance to put pictures and get all the yearbook thing kind of going. And I put a big picture of that girl and me with a cut into a heart in the yearbook. Yeah. So, mistake. Anyway. So the picture's in the yearbook, like it's there. And I remember sitting in chapel and my pastor, Brother Pendergraft, who's a man of God, willing to stand up and say what people need to hear and not always what they want to hear because he's a man of God, a preacher of God's word. And here's what he said. And he looked at me and he said, Ben, what are you going to tell your wife whenever she sees that picture? I'm going to actually cut that page out of the yearbook. She's never going to see it. Amen. We're going to burn the whole yearbook. You know what I needed in that moment? I needed a preacher to stand up and tell me what I needed to hear. I needed somebody to stand up and say, you know what? You're going to be judged for that. There's judgment connected to our sins. What we need tonight is not to be afraid of a man of God who's going to tell us what we need to hear. We can't wear our feelings on our shoulders. We can't be so easily offended. We need to be strong with the gospel. And we need to be gospel carriers ourselves. We need a church, we need a pastor, and we need to sit with a heart that says, preacher, tell me how it is. Don't tell me what I need to hear, or what I want to hear, rather. That's what we need. And that's the spirit we need to have. That's what Peter had. That's the kind of preacher he was. I'm here to tell you, that's the kind of preacher I want to be. I don't want to be afraid.
Amen.
Did you know this? If we're going to have Christians who are going to change, then you have to be confronted.
Amen.
If you're going to grow, then you have to be confronted.
Right.
If you're not confronted, you can't grow. You can't become stronger if you don't have somebody stand up in front of you and say, you are doing wrong. You are on the wrong path, and you need to get on the right path. And I'm telling you this not because of my own authority, but on the authority of God and His Word, because I love you, and guess what? He loves you more than I do. That's what we need. But we don't just need preachers who will do it. We need Christians who will stand for God so that our life alone declares such a loud message that people look at us and they get convicted just by watching our life.
Right.
Like, oh man. We can't be afraid to confront our children, moms and dads.
Right.
Don't be afraid. Talk to moms and dads who won't confront their kids because they're afraid they're going to lose their kids. Let me tell you something. You are on the path of losing your kids because you won't confront their sins.
Amen.
We need to get our hearts right so that we begin to become strong and affirmed in our walk with God so that we'll be willing to stand for God and stand against sin and confront sins. We need that. We need that. We can't be afraid of blood. We can't be afraid of confronting things. And we can't be so sensitive that we won't allow ourselves to be confronted because there's no growth outside of it. God, speak to me. God, bring a man of God to my life who will confront me in my sins and tell me what I need to hear so I can change and be more like you and be closer to you and be more right with you and be a better mom and be a better dad and be a better Christian, a better co-worker and a better boss or wherever our place is in this life, a better student at school, standing for Him in a world around us. These kids are starting school tomorrow, last week, next week, whenever, and you're going to be around kids who need you to stand for Him. They're on the wrong path. You know they're on the wrong path, and they need you to stand and confront that.
Right.
They need you to do that.
That's right.
This is our role. This is our responsibility. We can't be afraid to stand for Christ. We have to understand that a message that's going to bring salvation has to declare the truth that God is the judge, and we will be judged according to our sins. Anybody who will be changed into His image has to be confronted like this. It's you and me and all of us. Think about Jesus, the woman at the well. We all know that story.
Amen.
I mean, he tells her everything she needs to know right at the beginning. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said unto me, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him. That's all you have to do is ask. You want to be saved? All you have to do is ask. That's what He said. If thou knewest the gift of God, God's convicting you, you know you need to be saved. Thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. That living water is a well of water springing up in Him unto everlasting life. And God offers it, and she says, oh, give me this water. There's a little bit of sarcasm there, but listen, it might be true that she even had an inkling of a desire to know about the water that He's offering her. Oh, give me this water. You know what He said? He didn't say, oh, okay, just pray and ask for salvation. He didn't say that. He said, go get your husband. You know why? Because sin had to be confronted. He said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. Yeah, that's right. You don't, because you have had five husbands. And the guy you're living with, he's not your husband. You are living in sins. You want to get right with me? You want to know me? We're going to have to deal with those sins.
Amen.
You want to change? You want to be close to God? You want to be right with Him? You have to be confronted in your sins.
Amen.
There's no other way to grow. And we need some man, we need some Christian, we need some influence in our life that will stand up to us and say, you're on the wrong path. I remember I had an attitude, and I know most of us don't really have that struggle, but I was 16 years old the last time I got a spanking. Raise your hand if you can relate to that. Anyway, amen, all right. Some of us aren't even done yet. Anyway, so like the age just keeps getting older, right? So 16 years old, you might think, well, that's pretty old, you know? I thought so. But I told this before, but let me say it again. It fits so well right here. My mom told me to pick up some clothes or to deal with some. I had a smart aleck response to her, and she said, "Oh, okay. So let's go to the room." We went into the room, And mom did not, she wasn't sweet anymore. I mean, she had a belt and she laid into me. And then we came out and I'm thinking, I am 16 years old. This should not be happening to me. Thinking that, wasn't verbalizing, you know. She says, how about we pick up those dirty clothes on the floor? So I picked it up and right in front of her face, I just dropped it. She goes, oh, okay. Let's just go back into the room. We need to have a little bit more of a talk. And then I forgot. The next 3 days is just black after that. So, I mean, it was not good. I didn't drop the clothes in front of her face anymore. Here, listen, what we need is a mom who will stand up and tell us what we need to hear, put us on the right path. We need dads that will stand up to us and put us on the right path. We need a pastor to preach the word and tell us what we need to hear and set us on the right path. We don't need somebody to make us feel better. We don't need somebody to make us feel good about where we are in life. No, we need somebody to tell us we're sinners and God's going to judge us. And we need to repent and we need to get right with Him. And if we do that, then we'll know.
Amen.
Then we'll know peace. You want peace with God? This is a message of peace. God's a judge.
Yeah, that's good.
You can have peace with Him if you acknowledge that.
Right.
And you repent and get on the right path. Ooh, and you know what? They repented and the Holy Ghost showed up.
Yeah.
I mean, the God showed up. And the circumcised, you know, Peter brought some Jews with him who were believers in Christ, but they were Jews too. And so they were wondering how the transition was going to take place with the Gentiles. They hadn't been circumcised. They weren't Jews at all. And the Holy Ghost showed up and the circumcised, they were amazed. God is working. Why? Because the gospel reaches all of mankind. We just need somebody to stand for it.
Amen.
Preach the truth. Tell us what we need to hear. You got to stop being sensitive tonight. You got to stop. You're not going to move forward in your walk unless you let God's man and God's word change your life. And if you're sensitive and you're always offended, you can't be changed. Petty. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, I think. You got to stop that. Don't be sensitive. Say, I need this. I didn't even realize I needed it, but amen, I needed that. And we need to stop being afraid to tell somebody that what they need to hear. Don't be afraid to tell your kids. Like, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Don't be afraid to hurt their feelings. Tell them what they need to hear. It might be that you're their only hope. I think about, we're almost done. I think about 1 Peter. Peter's counseling how to win a husband who is lost and how to win a wife who is lost. And so in that guidance, there's that instruction. And if you have faith, then God can work in these circumstances for a husband to win a wife and a wife to win a husband. Here's the point. We have to trust God and we have to believe that God can do something that we can't do.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, He can do a better job than we can. We just have to stand for Him and let Him work. And maybe you've been fighting Him. Maybe you've been fighting Him and you heard about some coffee tonight. And you're like, oh yeah, you know, I've been investing a lot of my life in the stuff of this world. Little sips, you know. It's not going to go past security. Might just need to go ahead and throw the coffee in the trash and let's just invest ourselves in the things of God. Trust Him. Stand for Him. Be what He wants us to be. But let's not be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Amen. Good.
You want people to be saved, the Holy Ghost to work in people's lives. We can't be afraid of the blood.
Amen.
Can't be afraid of it. It's like, Pastor, I just don't like confrontation. You're not going to help anybody then.
Right.
Let me say that again. Pastor, I don't like confrontation. You're not going to help anybody then.
Right.
Because unless you're confronted, you can't be helped.
Right.
We got to deal with our sin. So let God confront you tonight. And if there's a stand that you need to take, let God give you courage to do it tonight. Amen. Amen.